If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
So we're all looking for closeness and depth and intimacy, but we also want freedom and space. How do we work with these two profoundly different needs in our intimacy life? Stay tuned to the Deeper Dating Podcast to explore this powerful question.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page, and I'm a psychotherapist, author of the book Deeper Dating, and co-founder of DeeperDating.com, which is a site for single people to meet in an online environment that's fun, inspiring, kind, and respectful. In this podcast, I'm going to talk about the pull toward freedom and independence versus the pull toward intimacy and closeness. It's such a rich and important subject. So in this podcast, I'm going to share the greatest tools that I know to help you find healthy love and keep it flourishing and heal your life in the process, because the skills of dating are nothing more than the skills of love, and those are the greatest skills of all for a happy life. And if you want to learn more about the Deeper Dating Path to Real Intimacy, just go to DeeperDatingPodcast.com and you can sign up for my mailing list. Learn about the classes that I teach, the free classes, the intensives, and you'll get some free gifts. And you'll also learn about how to use these ideas to transform your intimacy journey. And you'll also find complete transcripts of this and every episode. So I also just want to say that everything I'm going to share in this podcast is educational in nature. It is not medical or psychiatric advice or treatment. And if you feel that you need that, please do seek professional help. And finally, if you like what you're learning here, I would so appreciate it if you subscribed and left me a review. I've gotten the most beautiful reviews this week, and I just thank you so much. So let's jump right into this incredibly rich and important and kind of universal subject, which is the tension between the parts of us that want freedom and space and the parts of us that want intimacy and closeness and connectedness and bondedness. And this is such a rich subject because both parts need room. But it's a complicated, complicated thing. And we're going to talk about how to find ways to hold both parts of yourself and to kind of extract the wisdom from each of those two sides and help the more immature parts to kind of grow up. It's a rich journey finding the language of honoring those two parts of ourselves and helping them grow up and communicate and connect. And I'm going to teach you some fabulous practices for doing that. But I'm going to begin by talking about this kind of rich, rich dichotomy and how it's affected my life and how it's affected the lives of so many people that I know and work with. So all of us have these two different conflicting pulls, and we handle them differently. Or you might say two streams of wisdom and need and self, which can often be in really deep conflict. So in a complicated world, which this is, or in a dysfunctional family, or just simply because it's hard to name and identify and honor and find the language for our deepest gifts. I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a six-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page, you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back. For all of these reasons and other reasons, including trauma, we end up having to choose one of those pulls over the other in ways that hurt us and hurt our ability to love. So in a moment, I'm going to talk about the value, the wisdom and the value of each of these two pulls. But first, I'm going to share something that is a really rich metaphor. And this is just a piece of LGBTQ anthropological information that's just so rich and captures so much. This is from Will Roscoe's book from 1998 called Living the Spirit, which speaks about LGBTQ, two-spirit Native Americans. And it's just rich with really fascinating material. But in many indigenous cultures, LGBTQ people were considered in some ways the holder of sacred ritual, because one of the definitions of what sacred means is having each of your feet in a different world and being able to hold that. And they felt that LGBTQ people were able to do that with the masculine and feminine. So often these children, these two-spirit children, were cultivated for roles as shamans or ritual holders or just very particular kind of mystical roles in the tradition. And this is very, very universal. Christian de la Huerta's book, Coming Out Spiritually, is just a very rich description of this across many indigenous cultures. Amazing stuff. Anyway, separate story. But what they would do is they would take an area of brush, and in that area of brush, they would have a bow and arrow, and they would have a basket. And the child that they were wondering about, if this child is two-spirit, they would set the brush on fire. And the child had to go in and either take the bow and arrow. It could only take one thing. So if the boy took the basket, that boy was considered probably two-spirit. If the girl took the bow and arrow, she would probably be considered two-spirit. So why do I tell this story? Because it's the experience of living in a world where you don't get both. And it's like there's a fire and you only get to take the one that means the most to you and the other you have to give up. And all of us kind of have a predilection, or I don't know about all of us, many of us have a predilection wherein freedom has to come first. It has to come first. For others of us, what has to come first is connection. And in a dysfunctional situation, or just being raised not to understand the richness of these two qualities, we often feel like we don't get to hold both. So we have to choose the one we need the most to survive. So this is true in so many different ways. And this exercise of holding both that I teach, and this concept of holding conflicting core gifts, conflicting deep parts of you, is something I'm going to be talking about in many different ways. But I chose one, which is this one of freedom or the desire to connect. So I'm going to talk a little about each one. So I think that people who have this deep need for freedom carry a particular pain in them because they've had to say no to connection to maintain that sense of freedom. When your survival depends on having that freedom, and that freedom, that sense of separation or integrity or dignity of self, or if you grew up in an environment where there was emotional abuse and manipulation, maybe your survival was saying, no, I'm not going to merge in this family. I am not going to fully join this family because it would mean the annihilation and the suffocation of my individuality, of my truth, of my clarity, of my freedom. So we learn then in those cases, in deep, deep ways, that connection can be the enemy of freedom. It can be the enemy of autonomy. So it's difficult to have that gift of freedom being so important because often we think we're flawed in our ability to love. What is wrong with me that I can't love like other people? What is this call to freedom? What is this need for space that I have that has made me lose relationships, that has made me run, that has made me flee, that has made me separate? I know a story of a woman who kind of had that tendency and had also a lot of consciousness. And she and a man were in love with each other. And so they decided that they were going to get married, but she let him know from the beginning that she had a part that could make no eternal promises forever. And she had a suitcase, which was her leaving suitcase. And she had it packed. And she said to him, I love you. I want to commit to you, but I need this suitcase because I cannot promise you that at some point I don't want to leave. And amazingly, you know, he knew that she really loved him. And I guess he had just a lot of spaciousness. That suitcase remained there for decades and they remained together, but she needed the suitcase. For me, I used to wonder why I couldn't sleep close to anybody for more than a few minutes. I would start to feel kind of claustrophobic. I would need space. And I thought that this was a fear of intimacy. I later learned that highly sensitive people often need that extra space in bed. And that need for space marked so much of why I could not find a relationship for so many years, because I didn't know how to honor this odd and strange need for space that made no sense and made me feel really kind of guilty. It wasn't until I learned to say, I need space, which was not easy, was just incredibly, incredibly hard. My mom is a very, very amazing woman. She's a 92-year-old street artist Holocaust survivor. But we've had to work on this issue because I have felt in my life like that it was sometimes hard to be close to her because I felt like I couldn't breathe because her relationship to space was different than mine. It took me so long to realize that this was not fear of intimacy. It was my language of intimacy. And I'll never forget that time that I was able to get past my guilt and kind of self-pathologizing and say, Mom, I'm feeling like I can't breathe. Somehow there is not enough space around me in this conversation, and I need more space because I'm not happy in it now, and I'm wanting to pull away. And this was just such a great thing. And because of all the growth, she was able to say, oh, yeah, I get that. I'm being kind of pressury. I'm just going to lay back and give you space. Anyway, this was like kind of like a path out of a cage that I had been in for a really long time. And I've had to do this endlessly with my husband to let him know ways in which I just needed space because that was the language of my being. When I couldn't do that, my deep insides knew that they would not be protected. So I created what's called a primitive defense, which is a wall. And I wouldn't let closeness in, or I just kind of was gravitating again and again toward unavailable people because I could breathe with them. And with someone who was just available and there, I would start to feel like I couldn't breathe. But as I learned to treasure this need for space, that began to all change for me. So many people, I think, have a passion for freedom. And what those people, what us people need to do who have that, is to learn to honor that language of a need for freedom and not so quickly call it pathology, but call it space. Call it the need for space. And when that's honored and dignified, it's a very, very different experience. The poet Rilke talked about this in a really interesting way. He said, an artist needs to feel like they can walk miles and miles and miles in their own internal world without having to be in touch with anybody or in contact with anybody during that time. And there are other pieces here in addition to the freedom piece, the space piece. There's the ambition piece. People who are on fire in ambitious ways, who need the space to be able to kind of like be on fire with the arc of their passions and their ambitions. Another thing that needs to be really treasured and honored. When we can do that, because often, you know, we've got this one thing that we pick out of the fire, and it's the thing that we most are organized to need, but then we lose the other. So as we learn to claim and honor that kind of more primary or dominant need, then there's space to be able to see its complement. And until we see its complement, until we see the opposite part, we're going to be victims of clumsy compromises that we have to make. We're going to shut people out. We are going to feel blocked. We are going to have problems loving ourselves. And we will either find ourselves again and again doing those acts of either suppression of self or acting out of self in a not very helpful, wonderful way. So this learning to treasure and dignify both is just such a rich and important journey. But now I want to talk about the people who need connection most and that experience. And I think that people who need connection kind of first in that primary way have another kind of suffering. And that's like, what is wrong with me that I need love so bad that I'm actually willing to give up parts of myself? That's a very, very difficult and painful thing to face. That's kind of codependency. And in many ways, codependency is just a misuse of a quality of caring about connection. It's kind of a poor use of that deep and profound need for healthy connection, where we fill up the space that the other person is not meeting with our own energy, with our own life, with our own resources. So once again, there's a particular pain that those of us who have that as a primary kind of part of ourselves. That's what we pick out of the fire and run with, is the need for connection. I can give up my freedom to some degree. I can give up my integrity because I'll die without connection. And it's a very profound, profound thing. And it's painful and it's humiliating to think back on how we've given up pieces of ourselves because we wanted love so badly. But there is a treasure here. And those of us who do treasure that part of ourselves and realize that even though our culture shames us for that need in a million different ways, our need for connection is wisdom. And it's actually a kind of wisdom that the world is hungry for now. It's a wisdom that's denigrated in our culture. There's this kind of over-celebration and over-emphasis on independence versus interdependence, and the amount of pain that that has caused for our planet and our relationships and our inner lives is breathtaking. I have a friend who was a flying doctor in Australia, and he told me that when he worked with these Aboriginal tribes, if one of them had an injury, you couldn't just go in and say, "What hurts? Let's talk about it," because that seemed like the height of disconnectedness. You would have to start and say, how is your family? How is the community? How is, you know, whatever the broader questions are, because it would just feel like such a violation to just jump into talking about this person. It would just feel so kind of unkind and unconnected. This is a culture that in these ways treasured connection. And I say this all the time, our longing for love is wisdom. It is not weakness. So there is, just like with that primary need for freedom, there is a kind of grieving that has to happen when we face this and we say, look how much I've given up. Look how much connection I've had to give up for my love of freedom, my need for freedom. Look at how much of myself I've had to give up because of my need for connection. And so there's a grieving that happens, but then there is also a reclaiming. There's a rescuing that needs to happen with both of these. And in both cases, it's like a rescuing yourself from this picture of pathology and being able to say, this is how I am built. This is so important to me that I will not give it up. And that has to be honored. And so that grieving and also that honoring are things that really need to happen, because when we shift and start honoring that part of us, we finally grow up in intimacy and our world of intimacy changes. When we stop shaming ourselves, and I would like each of you now to take a minute and think about this. It's such a great, great question. Like, which did you pull out of the fire in your life? Which was the one that you had to pull out of the fire? And it could be not a simple answer of one or the other. It could be in certain situations you've had to pull out one. In certain situations you've had to pull out another. That there have been a series of sometimes clumsy compromises that didn't end up working. Take a minute to think about that for yourself. And you could even pause the recording and just think, what did I need to pull out of the fire? What did I lose? How have I dishonored myself for this part of me, or for both of these parts of me? So the next time you're in a relationship and you feel a need for space and you feel like, oh my God, I'm so screwed up that I need this, or you feel angry that you're not getting it and you want to handle it in a reactive way, or you want to suppress that need, instead ask yourself, how is this connected to a core gift of needing space and freedom inside myself? How might I be able to honor that? And then the next fabulous question is, what would I need right now in this situation? It's a completely different path, but man, it makes a difference. And then the next question is, how can I express this with kindness and seeing the other person, but really make room for it at the same time as I'm making space for them, but making room for this need? This is radical intimacy, and radical intimacy with self. And so now I'm going to lead you in an exercise that I adore to help you be able to do this. I call it holding both. And I've taught this in, I think, one other episode in the past, but I'm going to share it now because it so connects to this. So I'm going to ask you to do a visualization with me. And the thing that I'll say first about visualizations is, don't worry if your capacity to visualize is like Swiss cheese, filled with holes. Mine is. Don't worry if you focus somewhere else, you lose focus. I do. It's okay. What you just want to do is have those kind of sweet moments where you're there and you're present and enjoy those moments. And those moments, if you do this with heart, you will have those moments and that will carry you. So don't worry about visualizing perfectly or anything like that. Sloppy spiritual practice. I am a huge, huge champion of that. So, okay, I'd like you to close your eyes if you can. Only if you can. We're going to start together with one of these qualities. Let's imagine that you are a parent and you're sitting down and you've got these two children. And let's just start with the child who needs freedom and who even unconsciously pushes things away that in any way encroach upon that sense of freedom and autonomy and space. So just picture that part of you, because we all have that part of us, a part that needs that space and has had pain in the world because it hasn't gotten that. It hasn't known how to ask for it. And maybe has had to push love and intimacy away because it didn't have words to speak its truth and its boundaries. So picture this child of yours, the child for whom freedom comes first. And look at their face. See if you could let yourself see their beauty, just like, you know, this beautiful quote by Edward Hallowell, "The child who needs your love is not the child you pictured you should have. It's the child who's right in front of you right now." So this is the child who's right in front of you right now. It's the part of you that has to be able to breathe and have space and freedom. And now imagine that child sitting on your knee, one knee you pick, Your arm is around this child, and you're just letting them be them, and you're thinking of what it's going to be like for them to make their way in the world with this particular beautiful and complicated gift. And just have your arm around this kid. You're not trying to change them or help them grow or shift. You just have your arm around them and you love them and you're thinking about them. And now imagine the child for whom connection comes first. The child who will give up pieces of themselves for closeness and sweetness and goodness and connectedness. And look at this child's face. Look at the beauty in this child's face and the hurt in this child's face that they have incurred. And let this child come sit on your other knee and put your arm around this child and think about both the pain and the beauty this child is going to face in their life journey. And now just imagine, all you have to do is imagine that your arms are around both of these children and you're holding them both. You're not doing anything to fix or help or anything. You're just holding them both as these kind of amazing beings who have a path ahead of them. And they're your children. And just hold them and feel what it's like to hold both. Just hold both. Take as long as you want with this. You could pause the recording if you like. And imagine what it would be like for you, because you are the parent. You are the primary caretaker of both of these parts of you. Imagine what it would be like to live this way, kind of holding both, like that kind of very spacious and aware kind of parent who's maybe a little bit wry, but also very loving, and just seeing reality and seeing the differentness of their children. So just stay with that experience. Just loving both of them fully and just holding them both. And with that experience, just slowly come back and open your eyes. And I am so excited for you to think about your journey. I'm excited for all of us. I'm excited for me to think about our journey as we grow in our ability to give language and dignity to those two parts of ourselves in our relationships. How amazing that will be. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and you can find a full transcript at deeperdatingpodcast.com. And I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode. And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.